Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She has a health goal of doing 6 pull-ups. I saw her doing 4 the other day, so she's getting there. Jessica Labby is our co-host. She says she's a ballet school dropout with really tight hamstrings, but she's not letting that stop her. Her health goal is to become a human pretzel by the end of the year. Mike Clark, our producer, wants to graduate from the P90X workout program. His wife is loving his chiseled look. These three together are quite motivating. I think I might hit the gym myself. You too are about to be inspired to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
I have an important announcement. We actually taped that bumper a few weeks ago, and last week I did 5 pull-ups.
Amazing. You are so jacked.
So I'm 1 pull-up away from my goal. I might have to reset my goal, make it a little bit harder.
You got a while to catch up with me, though.
How many can you do?
I can do, in one of my workouts, I do 120 total.
Okay, but how many can you do at
120?
Once?
120?
It sets at 20, yeah.
I can't even do 1.
So how many could
20.
You do?
I do 20
total.
At a time.
20? Yeah. What's the most you could do if you had to?
I don't know. Depends if you're egging me on or not.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably 25 or 30.
Well, that's powerful. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We're talking about power, but in a different way. Mike, have you ever...
Jennifer.
Yes. Have you ever cut your finger?
Yeah, I did yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay. Did it heal? Is it healing?
Yeah.
Did you have to tell your body how to do it?
No. Luckily, it knows on its own.
Seriously, like if you had to know and tell your body, it would probably never heal.
Probably.
Same idea. If you guys have ever broken a bone, I broke my arm in 2nd grade. I fell off a weight bench and the weight crashed onto me. And unfortunately, I had to have a cast on for, I don't know, what, maybe 6 weeks. And can you imagine if I would have had to sit in a chair in 2nd grade for 10 weeks and tell my body how to heal the broken arm?
It would still be broken.
It would still be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't until much later I learned about osteoblasts and osteoclasts, but even still, I couldn't tell my body how to do it. But yet the arm healed, just like your finger healed. And I want to establish that we have a healing power built into us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And really, that's the body's natural response. It wants to heal. So you injure yourself, and assuming the environment is proper for your body to heal, its natural response is always going to be to heal and heal perfectly.
It's quite a machine.
It is. To the point where I think we lose sight of how amazing the body is. And I always like to bring our patients back to how amazing the body is and to remember that.
My husband needs to remember that when he puts his antibiotic cream every time he gets a paper cut. And I'm like, don't do that!
Well, and you know, in the levels of support you want to give your body, like for example, you cut your finger, it's probably smart to put a Band-Aid on it because you're going to keep it clean, right? Which is, again, giving it the right environment. Putting a cast on a broken bone can be completely essential, but it's not the cast that's doing the healing. You know, when you're little, you might think that, but obviously the cast has zero healing property.
Right.
Its only job is to stabilize so the body can heal properly. And, you know, there's these complex body reactions, all chemical reactions that allow healing, and it's built into us, and we don't know how it happens. We don't even have to know how it happens, because healing is just the natural order of things.
Yeah, we don't even think about it usually.
There's a statement in chiropractic that's well known that says the power that made the body heals the body. And that's interesting because they're not saying the doctor healed the body. In our case, we're not saying the adjustment healed the body. We're saying the power that made the body healed the body. You know, so the question then is, what is the power? And we're not going to make this about religion. We're going to make this about, what's the power in your body? Where does it come from? You know, and if you look back to how a baby is built in the body, you can see that the process of embryogenesis has this power driving it. You know, so this power is present at the beginning of our existence, and it's responsible for our life. And when we're conceived, the cells start to divide and differentiate, and within 3 days, our master power system is formed. So there's actually a physical manifestation of the power in our body. Do you know what it is? Anybody?
Innate intelligence.
And how is it physically manifested? Like what system in the body? Like what actual system? Come on, I'm making you think of science here. The central
It's too early for school.
There you go.
There you go.
The central nervous system.
Brains and beauty, you have it all, Jessica.
That's right. Well, the central nervous system. So that, Mike, if you remember, that's the brain and the spinal cord. So that's like the computer of the body. That's where the power to the body is stored.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the system of the body that controls everything. Controls all
everything.
Power. All power. All signals that the brain sends the body and back. The nervous system, it's like telephone wires. The brain is talking to the heart through the nervous system. It's, you know, it talks to the lungs, the colon, the fingers, every part of the body. It's the communication system. Okay, guys, so go through this thought process with me. This is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records. It says that a human being can go as long as how many days without food? What do you think?
2 weeks.
Oh, longer than that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Think about people doing like 40-day fasts.
That's right. That's what I was going to say.
It's actually, really? You can go as long as 60 days without food.
Wow. Yeah, I can't.
But that's how we know that food is essential, because if you take away food, eventually you will die.
Yes.
Now, we can go for how many days without water?
Not as long, I know that. A week, maybe?
That's right. Seven days. In fact, most people, though, are in phase one dehydration all the time. You know, that's if you only drink when you're thirsty, you're probably dehydrated. Right. But we can go 7 days without any form of water. Now, what happens is it's less time that we can go without oxygen. So short of a miracle, because miracles can happen, how long do you think we can go without oxygen?
5 or 10 minutes.
That's right, 5 or 6. Good job, you guys.
Wow, we're smart. We're wicked smart today.
Wicked.
Yes, we are from New England. But how long do you think we can go without nerve supply? Okay, put your fingers together and snap. That long.
That's not long.
No, there is no life without power. Not even at all. That's why, you know, you've seen these people who have some type of injury. Remember Christopher Reeve? He plays Superman.
Right.
Remember he fell from a horse and he actually broke his spine and it cut into his spinal cord. And immediately all feeling, all sensation and function from that point down in his body was gone.
Yeah, he broke the top bone in his neck.
Right.
Actually, I think it was the second or third bone.
Oh, really?
That's why he could still have some function. You know, his heart was still working. Because he was a little bit
lower. Could he breathe on his own?
He had to use a ventilator.
Ventilator, yeah.
He could blink.
Yeah.
He could blink. So you can't live without nerve supply. You know,
obviously,
and we don't obviously work on people who have that level of damage in their nervous system, but to a lesser extent, when you have spinal misalignment, you put pressure on your nervous system. So it's not the same thing as cutting into it, but it's pressure. And I'm going to read you a quote. This is the book that literally all medical students and chiropractic students learn anatomy from. Over the years, it's been the book. This was taken out of Gray's Anatomy, the 29th edition, page 4, right at the front of the book because it's so important. When talking about the nervous system, it says, every function of the human body is under the control of the nervous system. Its function is to coordinate all the other organs and structures and to relate the individual to his environment. This is the power system. Now, the spine's role is interesting. If you think back to anatomy, what is the function of the spine? Mike, you should know this because you have been educated a little bit through these podcasts. Do you know? There's two main things your spine does for you.
Keep me upright?
Yeah, it gives you some type of structure.
True.
The other thing is it houses and protects the spinal cord.
Right.
You know, you think about how your rib cage protects your lungs and your heart. Your spine literally encloses the spinal cord as it comes down off the brain stem. And then, of course, there's individual bones in the spine that allow for spacing in between. That's where the disc is. So the nerve can exit and then travel on to the organ or tissue or muscle that it's going to give nerve supply to.
I have learned all that from you, Jennifer.
Now, do you remember what it's called then when there's spinal injury to the nerve system?
Subluxation or something like that.
Subluxation.
Good job. Yeah,
was close.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. And subluxation basically is the term coined to mean that the spine is no longer moving properly or it's out of position. So it's putting stress on the spinal cord or on the nerves that are exiting the spine. And, you know, as chiropractors, that's our major concern is to find subluxation. Because if we allow the spine to be healthier and there's less pressure on the nerve, the body can reinstate proper nerve flow.
Everything works better.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're still trying to wrap your head around how spinal misalignment could possibly have anything to do with disease organs, well, stick around, because after break, we're going to explain it with an analogy about beavers and dams.
Beavers and dams.
Stick around.
I'll be there for that.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
There's a great analogy. I was just in a seminar in San Diego this past weekend, and I heard an analogy I'd never heard before. It's about beavers. Okay, you ready?
How do beavers relate to the spine, Mike?
I don't know. I can't wait, though. Really.
Okay, so picture a river flowing downstream, and then downstream is a field. And in the field is thriving crops. So see these beautiful, plentiful crops. Because the river is flowing downstream, it acts as irrigation. This irrigation is what's creating this beautiful harvest. But then come the beavers. Now, beavers are, you don't think of them as a bad animal. You know, they're a good animal.
They're kind of cute.
But what do beavers do? What do they build?
Dams.
They build dams. Now, what happens is the beavers come along, they build a dam, and it changes the flow. So the flow goes a different direction, and the crops can be hurt.
True.
So here's the question. Is the dam causing the withering crops?
No, it's the beaver.
No, it's not the beaver.
It's the flow of the river.
It's the flow. You know, because in some rivers, dams can increase flow, but what happens when the dams increase flow, they cause either too much water into the crops, or they cause less water into the crops. And really, either way, the crops can wither. The problem isn't necessarily the dam. It's the lack of flow or the change of flow.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. You know, so flow can be too little or too much, but it can leave a sick crop. So it's not the dam. It's about the flow. And when you relate this to the spine and the nervous system, the dam is subluxation. So the subluxation is changing the expression of the flow. So it's not directly the problem, you know, because just like beavers and dams are going to just keep coming, you could take the beavers away and there's just going to be more beavers and there's going to be more dams. Just like with subluxation, there's going to be life. There's going to be car accidents. There's going to be computer work. There's going to be...
Me slouching.
Yeah, there's going to be activities and stresses and accidents that cause our spine to potentially get out of place.
Right.
Our body oftentimes can self-correct that. Sometimes it just can't. But it's the change of nerve flow caused by that that really can create the long-term problems in our body. And really, that's the reason why people start to value lifetime chiropractic care. It's not an event. It's not because there was one injury. It's because they see the value in keeping the nervous system flow as best they can for the rest of their life. The natural answer is that for a lifetime, just like you take care of your teeth, you want to take care of your nervous system. And what's interesting is, like I said, as soon as the dam's broken, the beavers are going to rebuild. You know, the answer is not to get rid of the beavers. Logs flowing down the river break up the dams. So the adjustment is like the log. We break up the dams, we help the flow, but it's just going to keep happening. And here's an interesting thing. The immediate return of the water, that doesn't turn around the crops right away, does it?
No, it takes a little while.
It takes time. It takes time to break down. It takes time to heal. So that brings us to what causes subluxation. And as I mentioned, you know, auto accidents and injuries, sports injuries. I mean, Mike, you know, growing up, I'm sure you've put your body through a thing or two.
Oh, yeah. Falling out of trees and
repetitively slouching in your chair.
Yes, that too. And I still do that.
I read somewhere that a child learning to walk can fall as many as 25 times a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I totally believe that. You know, so life just happens. And to avoid the spine being misaligned is nearly impossible. And as soon as the spine becomes misaligned, if the body is not able to self-correct it, it will start to put pressure on your nervous system. So this is kind of cool. It's called the Windsor Autopsies, W-I-N-S-O-R, if anybody wants to Google it. And as early as 1921, the medical profession really has validated chiropractic. There was a medical doctor by the name of Henry Windsor, and he was a medical doctor in Haverford, Pennsylvania. And he wanted to find out how working on the spine and adjusting vertebra, because chiropractic was already an established profession at this point, he was curious how adjusting the spine had the ability to affect the organs. After he had graduated from medical school, he planned to dissect human and animal cadavers to see if there was a relationship between diseased internal organs and curvatures in the spine. And it was interesting because the University of Pennsylvania did grant him permission to carry out these experiments. And he said, this is actually his words, "The object of these dissections," or he called them necropsies, "was to determine whether any connection existed between the minor curves of the spine on the one hand and diseased organs on the other, or whether the two were entirely independent of each other." He ended up doing three studies, and he dissected a total of 75 humans and 22 cat cadavers. And this is basically what he found, that the sympathetic nerve segments related to the curvatures in the spine. So imagine this. There was nearly 100% correlation. For example, he tested stomach diseases, and all nine cases of the misalignment was in the area of the mid-thoracic, or the T5 through 9, which relates to nerve supply to the stomach. He tested lung disease. All 26 cases of lung disease had spinal misalignments in the upper thoracic, T1 through 4, which is nerves going to the lungs. He tested heart disease. All 20 cases with heart and pericardium conditions had the upper five vertebra misaligned. He did the same thing with liver, gallstones, pancreas, spleen, kidney, prostate, bladder, and uterus. And his conclusions, which was published in the Medical Times, and they can be found in any medical library, was that when your spine is misaligned, the nerves going to the distinct organs will be affected and the organs will suffer disease. You know, and these studies have been done by other researchers, and they've confirmed the same conclusions, that a well-aligned spinal column is essential for a healthy body.
That's why you need to tell people this, Jennifer.
I know, and I keep telling you, Mike.
I know. I'm coming to get aligned pretty soon.
Oh, we've almost got you.
Yeah, almost. Pretty soon.
Well, and you know, and the thing is, honestly, when people understand the true value of chiropractic, you know, beyond the physical problem model of, oh, if I get adjusted, it will help this or it'll help that. When they see beyond that, that just taking care of your spine, being checked at regular intervals, will just keep your nervous system healthy, it makes such a difference. Because, you know, the whole thing with these nerves that we're talking about, only about 10% of them have the ability to feel pain. Isn't that crazy? So if your nerves
affected,
you
don't know that.
You don't even know. You have no idea.
Well, and that's why, you know, they're finding correlation between, say, the heart disease and having the spine out of alignment. And, you know, you don't feel heart disease, at least until the very end. And, you know, what's interesting about that is there can be the misconception that, oh, chiropractors say they can treat or cure heart disease. And that is so far from the truth. You know, we don't treat or cure anything.
Right.
You know, our only objective is to get the spine as healthy as possible to allow the nervous system to express itself in the way it was intended. Any healing that's done is done because the power has been established. And so I don't get to decide how a patient responds to care. It's not my job. You know, and if you came in and said, oh, you know, I have a bladder problem. Well, that might give me a clue to maybe pay special attention, say, to the sacral area, because the sacral nerves, the base of your spine, go to your bladder. But if I don't find subluxation there, I have no reason to adjust it.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
For me, in my experience with chiropractic and getting adjusted, I can say that chiropractic is the true definition of what healthcare is.
I agree. I think that our medical system is fabulous with disease care. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're using medicine to try to create actual health, it will fail every time. It was never intended for that. If I get an accident, if I have a serious illness, well, that's what I need.
Right.
But if I'm just trying to create the healthiest body possible.
Stay healthy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to eat well. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to make sure my mind is right. And I'm going to make sure my nervous system is healthy.
I look back at all the times I went to the doctor and I wasn't feeling good for this or that or the other thing. I don't do that anymore. I haven't had a cold since 2007.
That's really cool. Good for you. Well, you know, and you eat so well. You've been adjusted. You've been working for us since 2007, right?
Well, 2006, and I was getting adjusted before that. But I was getting colds because I had a vitamin D deficiency, and that's a whole another story in a different podcast.
Mm-hmm. But you figured out all the pieces of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a good point because, you know, people will come in and say, well, you know, if I'm getting adjusted, then I'm all set. You know, that's kind of the mindset. Well, if I'm taking a multivitamin, I can eat any way I want.
Yeah, that's not no. the way it is.
You know, and having a healthy nervous system is the foundation because if your nervous system isn't healthy and say it's not allowing your gut to function properly, your food's not going to be able to give you the nutrients it needs anyway. So being adjusted, for example, is essential for health, but it doesn't stop there. There's so many aspects of being healthy, and that's why we talk about everything from nutrition to sleep in our podcast.
Trying to keep Absolutely. People healthy, Jennifer.
That's right, Michael. That's right. Well, please share this podcast, especially with people you know, especially someone who has never had their spine checked, because it just makes sense that we want to keep our spine and nervous system as healthy as possible.
Very informative.
Yeah, and you know, adjustments are gentle. You have been adjusted, Mike, and did you find it uncomfortable in any way?
No, I liked it.
Yeah, you feel good.
Yeah, it makes you feel good after.
So remember, the power that made the body heals the body. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.